cliffcentral.com.
Woo. Yas.
What's up?
I'm so happy to be back.
It's good to be back. It's good to have you back. It's good for me to be back as well. Yeah. I'm so excited about today. When you hear that music, you know it's time for the weekly mashup with myself, Timmy Shomasha, and my lovely co-host,
Candace Mama.
Yeah, welcome back. Everybody. We're wearing the same color shoes.
Like, I know. Our bottom halves are matching.
Yeah, our bottom halves are matching.
It's amazing, right? Yeah. Like, you are so happy.
I am. I'm like, I don't know. It's serendipitous.
Or we're hanging out with each other for too long now.
Yeah, well, this now is the first time that it's happened. Alike. Like, don't even, you know, it's not like this was totally like by chance. It was a coincidence.
A coincidence.
So, you know what?
Yes.
A lot of things have happened this week.
Yes.
One of the most exciting things that I'm just loving, because it's like watching a really important soccer game or rugby game, but you're totally neutral, so it doesn't matter who wins.
What's
happening over the border in Zimbabwe?
Crazy.
With like the coup that's not a coup.
Ooh.
Robert Mugabe is fine, but he's confined.
Yeah.
The situation is tense, but it's calm.
Yes.
Everything is like opposite.
No, yes. It's like we know what you see.
Yeah, yeah.
We know it looks like a duck. It sounds like a duck.
Yeah.
It quacks like a duck, but it's not a duck.
Yeah.
Just be aware that it is not a duck.
But how about our president going over there and he never makes a statement that quick about anything.
No, because he's like shit, they're really close.
Yeah, yeah. It's like this could happen
to me.
To us.
Not to us, to me.
To me.
To me.
And you know what I loved about his statement? There were a lot of and I always believe that every time the president goes, he's about to tell us a mistruth.
Yep.
So the situation in Zimbabwe. You're like, is it Zimbabwe or is it Angola? You know. But I thought it's interesting that it's happening.
Yes. It actually shows, like, remember earlier in this year we spoke to our show astrologist Teresa.
Yes.
And she told us that the world is going to go a little crazy at the end of the year, and because it was so early in the year we didn't actually think
about
it,
right?
And now that everything's actually going haywire, she said we're going to experience a world event that we've never seen before, and all of a sudden a man who literally we thought was going to die in power is now being held under house arrest.
Yeah.
So I mean, it is crazy. I mean, I would have never ever thought I'd live to see Robert Mugabe.
I think
he
overplayed his hand. It's like the guy who controls your military.
Yeah.
That's not the guy you fire.
Technically, that is a clever strategy. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's clever to keep the person who actually controls the arms.
You gave him
by your
the arms.
Yes.
Now you got to be friends with him.
You gotta.
It's too late to say.
Like,
look,
you can't get rid of him.
You know, last week when we were at Rocco Mama and I ordered the beef ribs. And you didn't, and then you just took one from my plate. That was not cool.
It wasn't
You're
cool.
You're out of here.
And I'm done with you.
Yeah.
You can't be done with anybody who controls your
arms.
You
can't be done with anybody. No.
You know?
Like, you just have to be like, look, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
But we're still cool.
And I love that he also says to him, listen, so my wife is actually going to take over. So I don't know what plans you had.
Yeah. You know.
What ambitions you had, but you should probably put those on the back burner.
Yeah. Like. And she's going to be in as long as I was in. So
yeah,
it's going to be another
100 years. You know
what?
When she's not busy beating little kids in South Africa, she'll be here. She'll be here ruling the country.
Hey, but how different is that to our president? I mean, he's hoping that his wife is going to be the next president.
It is crazy. The world is crazy.
And then, of course, there was the weekend, the actual sports that did matter. Bafana got thumped and again. And then, I mean, they got thumped on Friday. Then they got thumped again on Tuesday. That's like... Someone comes to your house, beats you up. Then you go to their house and you're like, I'm here for revenge. And then they beat you up there as well. That's what happens.
No, okay, but can we just not front? Bafana is like
I feel bad for you, Candy. For you and your generation. At least I've seen a powerful Bafana in my lifetime.
No,
I've seen them win stuff. With you guys, all you know is this kind of Bafana.
Like, but that's the thing, though. Like, we're so used to them losing. I think most of us would have had a heart attack if they'd actually won.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't think they're doing anything out of character here. Mm. I think it would be out of character if they actually started performing for a change. I mean, if Itumelengkune wasn't showing up looking like Batman's Revenge.
Oh, man.
Like, I mean,
like the Phantom of the Opera. The Phantom of the Soccer.
No, of the ghetto opera. Like, I don't even know what happened. Like, I was like, what is wrong with you? What
okay,
is wrong
look,
with you guys?
It's one thing to laugh about Bafana as if, like, you know, they're those guys you don't really know, you know, but Then the Springboks also lost, like really, really, really badly.
And then we lost the bid.
And then we lost the bid.
Oh, like we
the
were
bid
just
that was
losing.
Ours. It was
we
ours.
Were
it's
just
like
losing.
Someone had put a plate in front of you. You turned your back to just ask the waiter for a glass of water. You turned back around.
France was eating us.
France is eating us. Like, I don't care. It was here in front of me too.
Bougie, poo-poo. Yeah. I added wine. I added a baguette.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Yeah, no, it's terrible. I am Confucius.
Okay, anyway. I think we need, like, a week of forgiveness. So, what I'm going to do is... I just like to play something.
Okay.
I don't know your code. I know, that's weird. Like, I don't know your code, but I actually don't.
How could you not know my code by now?
So, this is something that you did... when you went to speak to the Stellenbosch Mafia.
No, it wasn't Stellenbosch. It was Franschhoek. And it was the Diversity Intelligence Conference. Because, guys, you know, when I'm not making dumbass jokes on the show, I'm actually kind of smart.
So, was it full of, like, really rich white people?
Wow. Okay, I don't think I'm going to answer that. But
no, I want to know. Like,
no, can
like
I
for
just,
reals, though.
No, no, no. But can I just give a disclaimer to this clip that we're about to play? The audience was laughing. Like, okay, I know y'all are at home and you can't even see the clip. But if you do, just go to YouTube and watch.
Was it that diverse audience?
It was diverse enough.
You were the diverse.
No, we had like people from Singapore and like all around the world delivering all right. speeches.
All right.
And the audience was also a little diverse.
All right, well,
so it was
here we
great.
Go. Let's hear it. Let's check it out. One, two.
Are we still checking it out? Because I'm hearing nothing.
Well, give us a second. We're having technical problems.
Tamisha's having technical problems again.
It's right here. It's playing. I'm seeing you. Nice dress, by the way.
I thought so.
It was well chosen for the for that particular event, though. So, so did they like your dress? What do you call that style? What do you call that style?
What do I call that style? I call it the Candor style.
Every dress has got a particular, like an A frame or.
Okay, y'all can go watch it on YouTube and tell
you
me.
You know nothing.
Why? Everyone loved it. Everyone loved it. They edited out the part where everyone said they loved the dress. Just to put it out there.
All right. Well, while we're getting the clip up and running.
Yeah.
Because I think our fiber is also quite slow today. When you went there and you spoke to everybody, it must have been like really nerve-wracking.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
But it's something that you do quite often. Is this like a regular thing for you? Is this what the topic that you speak about usually when you go out there and speak?
Yeah. So at this particular conference, I think the reason it was even more scary than the other talks I normally do is because I was one of 24 international speakers that were chosen to come and deliver a talk on diversity intelligence. And I think when you are speaking in front of people, your peer group who have achieved so much in these fields, you are very intimidated. You're like, oh my goodness, how do I compete with someone who like negotiates with terrorists for the UN and someone else, you know, who's the head speaker in Singapore? And, you know, so it's a lot. It's a lot to do. But yeah.
Okay.
It sounds like the clip is playing now.
I've got the clip here.
Great.
So I'm just going to play it for everybody so that they can hear it. Let's see if we can get it on this one. Here we go.
I'm going to start you guys with a little bit of like exercise because you guys are eating and stuff. So I'm going to ask you a series of questions. If it relates to you, just raise your hand. Okay? Simple. Okay. Raise your hand if you have ever experienced pain. Okay, good, good. Raise your hand if you've ever experienced loss. Good. And now raise your hand if you've ever experienced heartbreak. Okay, so I think all of us are in the same boat here. So I think it's fair to say that at one point or another, all of us have had to grapple with the concept of forgiveness, right? So what is forgiveness? I've researched a little, and the Oxford Dictionary definition is to let go of anger and resentment. Most of us would agree with that. It makes sense. You know, there's not much to add. It's just there. But the definition that sticks out to me is the conscious and deliberate decision to let go of resentment and anger. Okay. So I think most of us will agree that this is a bit more concise and it tells you a little bit what to do, so conscious and deliberate, and it's a decision. Okay. So why am I speaking on forgiveness and not fashion? I'll let you know. I'm going to tell you guys a little bit about my personal story.
So as you can see, this is my gorgeous mother, my very handsome father, and the most beautiful baby in the world, me. And I'm about to take you guys on a bit of a journey. When I was 9 months, my father was killed. And not just killed in any way. He was killed by an apartheid assassin by the name of Eugene de Kock. When he was driving into Nelspruit, him and three men were driving into Nelspruit, and Eugene de Kock and his team decided to fire at the car. As they approached the Nelspruit Bridge, Eugene saw that the car was not coming to a stop. So he himself decided to run down the bridge and empty out his magazine cartridge on my father. When he still saw signs of life, he decided to douse them all in fuel and set them alight. So, growing up, this was not something my mother shared with us. However, when I was 9, I discovered a book by Jacques Poe called Into the Heart of Darkness. And it had a picture of my father's charred body. So, since that day, my life has never been the same. At the age of 16, I was diagnosed with severe ulcers and depression. I knew that my body was killing me from the inside out. And I have to be honest, I was okay with it. But slowly but surely, I started to realize that I just did not want to be alive. Fast forward a few years. I am now 23. I get home and my mother says to me, I got a call from the National Prosecuting Authorities. And they want to know if you'd like to meet Eugene. Okay. So I said, okay. My older brother was like, excuse you. And my mother was like, I'll go with whoever goes. So we, after many, many dinner table discussions, we decided to go and see Eugene. At the meeting, Eugene told us the story I just shared with you. And after which, my mother asked, okay, I'd like to know one question. And he said, okay. And she said, why my husband? And his response was gut-wrenching. He said, no reason. So my father died brutally for absolutely no reason. As the conversation went on, we got to know Eugene a little bit better. And my family decided to extend the branch of forgiveness to him. And my mother said, I forgive you, Eugene, my grandfather, my brother. And everyone was like, I forgive you, I forgive you. And then it got to me. And I said, Eugene, before I say anything, I want to ask you one question. And that is, do you forgive yourself? And he looked at me and he said, every time a family visits me, that is the one question I pray they never ask. And he looked away and he dabbed the side of his eye. And then he looked back at me and he said, when you've done the things I've done, how can you forgive yourself? And I just cried and cried and cried. For the first time, I saw a man sitting in front of me and not a monster. I could empathize with someone who I no longer just identified as my father's killer, but as a man. And after that, he stood up and I said, Eugene, I stood up first and I went to him and I said, Eugene, would you mind if I gave you a hug? And he looked at me like, a hug? And he stood up and we embraced and he said to me, your father would have been so proud of the woman you have become. After I forgave Eugene, I realized something incredibly strange, that I had been the one who had been in prison the entire time. So, are you imprisoned? Thank you.
Wow. Sure. That was quite a story that you told there. And I know that that's part of your lecture series and that's what you do around the country and one day around the world. But the reason why I wanted to play it was I think sometimes we forget that forgiveness is not a one-time event, right?
100%.
It's not like I forgive you today and then from then on it's over.
Oh, yeah.
And that's it. I'll never have to think about it again. Yeah. It's sort of like every day.
It's a process.
Mm.
And we constantly, I think forgiveness is a muscle, you know, that you train over time. And I mean, I've forgiven Eugene, but over time I've had to forgive a number of people and I've had to be forgiven. So It's a muscle that you train.
Do you feel like you still have to, there are days when you still have to forgive him again, where you get those feelings like, I hate that guy or what he's done?
No, with Eugene, it's pretty much done. It's a pretty sealed deal. But there are other people in my life where it is still a work in progress. I think because when people are more in your space, it becomes more of a work in progress.
Okay, actually, let's talk about that for just 1 second.
Yeah.
Is it easier if you never have to see that person again? Ever. And like they never have to send you a text. You're not on the same WhatsApp group.
Oh, yeah. So, I think with any human being, you'd understand that it's easier when you don't have to see someone.
Yeah.
And it's harder like when it's family or, you know, your friend or someone who is in your intimate circle because you're constantly seeing them. So you don't have that room to forgive them in full, you know, from a distance.
Mm.
But I mean, it is possible. It's very much possible.
But I think the one thing that you said that really that got me thinking is how much it actually hurts you physically.
Oh yeah,
didn't even know about.
Oh 100%.
And only afterwards you realized, hang on, I was dying, but what you admitted to was you were okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's a hard thing to admit to.
When you're in a state of unforgiveness,
yeah,
you are dying, but the worst part is you're okay with that.
Oh yeah, it's a comfortable sadness, if that makes sense, because you don't know anything else and you know that anything else takes effort and work.
Yeah.
So you'd rather, it's easier to stay in the comfort of being in the anger and the sadness and, you know, the hatred than it is to actually step out and say, is there something different? Am I willing to work on something different? That's the really difficult part.
I mean, after hearing a story like that, where like what happened to you, what happened to your family, what happened to your father, it sometimes gets me thinking, like, what right do any of us have? What right do I have to be still holding on to anger just because someone cut in front of me in the traffic, or someone like hurt my feelings like when I was in love with them and they just dumped me? I guess there are levels of this sort of thing. But do you think that your story can help the rest of us on an everyday basis? Because sometimes we just hang on to stuff that we shouldn't be hanging on to, you know? And then until you hear someone like, they forgave that, and I'm still hanging on to the fact that you ate my cheese yesterday.
You know, look, I think my biggest goal in life is just to make people think. I don't think I'm someone that can change your life. I don't think any human being can change any individual's life. But I do think what you can do is just spark a thought in someone that maybe will allow them to act better, live better, or want to do better. That's all I want to do. I just want people to think, like, can I do better? Can I live better? And if I can do that, then to me, I've achieved what I've wanted to achieve.
Okay. Thank you for that.
And thank you
for sharing. You know what? I think we're going to switch it up a bit now because
we've got
somebody in the studio.
Oh, yeah.
And this is a remarkable gentleman. He's super talented. Mm-hmm. And just in case you didn't know how super talented he is,
listen,
let me give you a taste.
Scar-stained shirts, but they were there. I knew you were hurt. You thought I never listened. You heard. If only you knew. I hated those constant fights where we felt sick inside. Not enough. We made up all night. I thought we made good, but now I look back and I wonder if I would ever wanna change your type of crazy. No. This is the end. Why do I feel more for you than when it began? Why does my heart go for you again and again? Why do these words seem never enough? So how do I unfall in love?
Those friendships you would break. Now I look back to those mistakes. You got me through.
Even though I didn't see it at the time.
You were there to stop me crossing that line until the fucking lipstick you whine that broke you.
But now I
and fall, baby.
Yeah. Beautiful stuff, man. Thank you so much. That is Jared Williams, everybody. How are you doing, my brother?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Well, welcome back to South Africa. And I know that no one's called you by your name in this way, so just to welcome you back, how are you doing, Jared?
That's good. No, it's good to hear that again.
I haven't heard that in a while.
All right.
Jared.
Where the R is really heard.
My family made me remember it real quick.
You landed trying to be bad and bougie, and they just brought you down.
You know what it is.
So you've been in the States for a while now. How many years have you been there?
Well, obviously I moved to Australia first.
Mm-hmm. We're going to get to that story. Sure. Yeah.
So I've been in the States about 7 years on and off.
Okay. And which part?
Los Angeles, California.
Nice. LA. Do you bump into any stars?
Yeah. A few.
You hang out with guys like Neo every now and again.
You know, once in a while. Babyface. He mentored me.
Really? Yeah. Damn.
Like, you actually sat in a room with Babyface.
That's correct.
For some, and you were not there by mistake. Like, he was talking to you.
He was talking to me.
How is he like in real life? He seems like the sweetest guy ever.
He's very quiet. It's actually kind of intimidating quiet.
Yeah.
To the point where I felt I needed to make all the conversation. but he's a genius. I mean, just being in his presence was an amazing experience for me.
Yeah.
I learned so much from him, and I hold him as one of my biggest influences in music.
Oh, wow.
And what was the one thing, like the thing that you can remember that really just sums up what Babyface had to say to you?
He told me, it doesn't matter how good your voice is or how much you want it, you need to feel the lyric. If you can feel a lyric, you can project a message more so than hitting a few great high notes.
I love that.
So that's what he taught me. He said you have to go into every performance or song, recording or whatever, and just feel the lyric and know what you're talking about.
Okay. Well, let's go back a little bit and focus on your time in Australia.
Sure.
How old were you when you guys left?
I was 10.
10 years old?
I was 10, yeah.
Okay. And you had already been, like, you knew that you could sing at that point.
Yes. My granddad actually discovered I could sing. I sang Happy Birthday to him by chance when I was, like, 7 because they just wanted me to sing. I didn't know I could sing at that time.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, damn, like, actually got a little something.
Listen to him.
Got some chops.
Putting his own mix on Happy Birthday. Happy
Birthday. So how did you sing it, though? I'd like to, do you remember? Yes. Anyone told you? Because, like, this is part of the story.
Yeah.
What twist did you put in it?
I could do a little something.
Do something.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, yeah. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
Man, let me tell you something. I'm always singing with all the other singers that are in
something
here.
Something like that. I think
I'm always trying to harmonize. But today I was quiet because I was like, you know, just shut up.
Yeah, know your place.
Stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane.
That's how good that was.
No, because all I was thinking was, I'm going to download the podcast, edit it out. Just that clip of Happy Birthday. Yeah. Every time it's someone's birthday, I'm just going to send them the voice note.
Great idea. That's what I'm going to do. And have my lips moving. Yes. I'm going to send them like a lip sync thing.
It's going to be like when you sing, you sound like a man. That's the soul, baby.
Deep the soul. You sound like Dionne Warwick.
She's a great singer, though.
She's unbelievable.
She's a great singer.
Unbelievable.
Okay, so you're in Australia.
Yes.
And I just, like, from just a human point of view, do you remember what it's like the difference between South Africa and Australia? Because the weather's the same,
yes.
Kind of looks the same. Was there a difference for you?
A massive difference. I mean, the culture shock was intense. You know, like, I left, I'm from Durban, so I was born in Durban. And I left, like, primary school.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to another school in Australia. And just, like I said, well, how people reacted with each other, or interacted with each other, I should say, is completely different. It took me about a good year to kind of...
What is that marked difference, would you say?
It's very, like, everyone likes to go to the beach and surf.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
That's not like Durban
at
all.
Do you like to go to the beach and surf?
I mean, I tried once in my life, but I think I'm better playing soccer.
Yeah, you're better on land, like the rest of us people of country.
You know, I don't want to be politically incorrect. Yeah. So I'm just trying to say what I want to say.
He plays soccer. That's it, you know.
He's like, I'm better at depth on land.
On land, correct. That's it.
Oh my! But then when you were 16, what happened?
When I was 16, I went to like our version of Idols.
So it was like Australian Idols.
Australian Idol.
Yes.
I did quite well there. I got to the semifinals.
Jeez, Jared.
At 16. And then I was like, maybe I should try and pursue this, you know?
Yeah.
And pretty much that was kind of my motivator to actually like make this as a career choice.
Yeah.
Because obviously, you know, I sang Stevie Wonder, who's also one of my idols. I sang lately on the show, and I got good reviews from it.
That's a jam.
I didn't win, obviously, but
But
I did well. Pretty great.
Yeah, I did well. Yeah. Yeah.
But here's the thing, right? I mean, you're an R&B singer in a country like Australia, which I wouldn't expect is that diverse racially, that R&B would be a major genre. Is that why you had to then move to Atlanta?
I had to leave. Well, I actually got, in 2009, I represented Australia for the World Championships of Performing Arts.
Oh, wow.
And I was obviously the male vocalist for the competition. Mm. And I actually got discovered from that competition in America by a record executive.
Uh-huh.
And he actually pretty much sorted out my visa and stuff like that and brought me over to try and pursue a career because he thought I'd do great in America.
But is it hard in LA? Because, I mean, I feel like LA is that land where everyone is so talented. Like the waitress. The waitress is like an actress, you know. Absolutely. Every other person is a singer. Every other person is a model. Every career
and a good
you
one
want
at
in
that, right?
yes, absolutely.
And you actually see very beautiful people, and you're like, "But why are you serving me my chips, though?"
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. No? Yeah, no, like it was. It's funny you say that because the first time I ever went to LA, after the competition, I went into the customs,
where they
check your passport and stuff and take your photo, and the lady who served me was like, "Oh yeah, I'm a." Aspiring actor, and I'm like, oh damn, the customs ladies are actors. Yeah,
yeah. Even like, in customs, you can't get away from it.
I was like, damn. So yeah, but no, the talent is ridiculous. Like, like you just go to like a ghetto church, man. Like,
right
in Inglewood, and you hear like 10-year-olds, little girls. I'm like, damn. I'm like, you should be selling records right now.
Yeah.
But you know, for some of them, it's all about being in the church, but if they wanted to go mainstream, man, there's a lot of talent there.
And how do you stay motivated? Sorry, Tia, I know you want to ask something.
No, it's cool.
How do you stay motivated in a place where you know everyone is so incredibly talented, and where Babyface even told you that it's not just about the voice and the talent,
and
the looks. You
know? Yeah, I mean, you've got everything. All three.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, you know how to communicate a lyric and all that.
Yes.
But I mean, how do you keep yourself motivated?
Well, the thing I do is not focus on anyone else.
Ah.
I focus on me and what I have to do.
Cool.
To try and get me better. If I focus on everyone else, that's going to derail my kind of plans because I'm going to be too worried about the next person rather than what I need to improve on or what I need, the steps I need to take to get to that next level.
Yes, 100%.
But how much of that success is also about finding, I suppose, a brand or a gimmick or a novelty or something? Because if everybody around you is so super talented, I suppose the one thing that separates everyone is, one, meeting the right people, right at the right time, and then two, just having something that makes you stand out.
Yes. Well, I mean, there's two parts to that. For like, you could have all the talent, but you wouldn't be considered a star. So you could be the greatest singer, but you're not a star. You're not going to sell records. Whereas you get like, for example, Simon Cowell did a little Facebook video not too long ago where he said Madonna wouldn't go and win a show like Idols or The Voice, but she would outsell someone that would win that show.
100%. I agree with that.
So does that make sense?
Yes, so
there's more to being an artist than just having a great voice or looking amazing. You need to be able to sell records because technically you're a business.
You basically need to package yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right.
Absolutely. And because it's 2017 going on to 18, technology's changed the music game, so you have to kind of do a lot of the stuff yourself before a record label's going to distribute you out to the world because they just don't have the time to do it like they did in the 90s.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. And also, I mean, from a budget point of view, you also don't want your record label to do all of that.
Yeah.
And
so they take all your money.
They'll take your money later, right?
Take all your money.
All of it.
Yes.
Every,
yeah. Yeah.
In fact, how much of that stays in your conscience sometimes? Like,
yeah,
you did speak to Babyface.
Yes.
And
he told me all
TLC,
that stuff. Yes.
Wonder Babyface, right?
Correct.
They went bankrupt. Uh-huh. Tony Braxton went bankrupt.
Yes. And I mean Tony.
But because they didn't understand the music business, the finances.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that something that now he's like really intent on? If he's going to mentor you, he really needs
absolutely
to tell you about
that. He said it's better to be under a distribution deal from a major label because you control most of your stuff.
Mm.
They're going to take a percentage, but it's not going to be like you under a label solely where they're doing your marketing, they're doing your cutting of your record, they're choosing your fashion. You know, that all costs money.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, traveling, getting the limo to an awards, like,
yeah,
you're paying for that.
Yeah.
Okay. They're just billing you for it.
They're billing you for
they're
it.
They're billing you
yeah.
later.
Yeah. 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 They're like, no, we'll take care of it now, yeah. but yeah. later. And then it's like at 3, 4, 5, 10 times the price that it would cost you just to take
and
that
just
same
done it
limo.
Yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
But then that means you have to be very, very active with what you yourself are doing. You have to be busy all the time.
Yeah.
And you have to raise your own funding to go and actually record your own
absolutely.
Music, right?
Yeah. It's, and it's much easier these days now because, I mean, you can buy your own equipment and still have a dope,
a good quality
track, you know, track or album or EP, whatever you're gonna do, and then you just go and master it at the big studio, so you're not paying for two weeks worth of studio time. You're paying for maybe 2 days.
Yes.
So you're saving a lot these days if you know how to do it yourself.
And how? Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. And we're so excited. Yeah. Questions at the same time.
No, but I think because so many people are listening to you and they want to achieve the success you currently have, but they also want to follow this journey.
Yes. By the way, I just wanted to say, if you do want to have, if you do have a question for Jared and you want to ask him something,
WhatsApp
us. On WhatsApp on 079-748-2090.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
And so, how important is something like Instagram and social media?
Yes.
How important is social media now in building yourself as an artist?
Yes, well, you see, I'm actually late to the game with that social media thing. I was very against it because I just don't like taking so many photos of myself. I mean,
it's
hard work trying to take a good photo of yourself all the time.
Mm.
Sometimes and trying to
I
look
just,
one way.
Yeah, you know, it's
you know you're tired as hell in that smiling selfie.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, but I was forced to, no, this is the new day and age. You need to kind of get on it or be left behind.
Mm.
So, you know, I really took an active role in trying to build up my fan base on social media this year, beginning of this year, because I was doing well in the streets, so to speak, but I could have engaged a whole new audience
100%.
If I was on social media. And that's why I've taken it up as one of the major things I need to focus on.
It's a part of the business now,
absolutely,
right?
Yeah,
investing
absolutely.
In social media.
I mean,
is
you can make
of
money
business.
Off Instagram.
You can make money off these social media streets. Don't play, honey.
No, tell me.
No, because you get sponsored.
You become ambassadors.
Exactly. You can be an ambassador. You can have your profile sponsored. You know, the more fan engagement
I'm
you
ready
have,
for that. By the way,
see, like for example, when Chris Brown or Kim Kardashian post a photo of a bag or a pair
salad.
Of sneakers.
You're still going far, boo.
Yo,
like a salad.
They're getting a percentage of that post.
All right.
Yeah. So I mean, there is. And I think, because I mean, you've sang in front of 50 million people.
Yes,
you've performed the anthem, right?
Correct.
And I think it's
oh,
not...
Oh, yeah. Was that at a Super Bowl event or something?
No,
yeah,
that's NASCAR
oh, okay.
in Atlanta.
Yes,
that's
Jared,
huge.
You were slaying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've done some things.
And to think, had you been in the social media game, I mean, your fan base
would have exploded.
Incredibly.
But see, that was, when was that? That was a few years ago, before like Instagram.
Before it started really taking off, right?
So I was like, damn, if it was this year or last year, that would have really helped me out,
you
know?
Yeah.
But what I appreciate is that you are so focused and you are so aware of the business of music.
Yes.
You're not just focused on the talent, you're not just focused on getting out the product, but also making the money from it. Because I think the notion of a struggling artist is long gone.
Correct.
Like, none of us want to be broke artists anymore.
Absolutely.
Like, it's time to get that ching-ching.
But look, it is also because you did study this, you did study music business.
Correct.
In the music industry.
So I kind of got all my
ducks
stuff together. You know, I said, I need to be smart about going into contracts and stuff like that. I need to know what I'm actually signing, because, like I said, it's a business. And if someone's investing in you, they want to try and make more money out of you than you make out of you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
of course.
You need to know how to negotiate.
Preach
well.
It.
I mean, that's really important. And a lot of young kids, you knew you were talented.
Yes.
And you were discovered at an early age. You were 16 years old.
Correct.
When you were a semi-finalist in Australian Idol.
Correct.
Idols, which
Correct.
Is huge.
Correct.
You could have just gone, you know what? I'm just going to go into the music industry and take it from there. But you decided you were still going to study.
Yes, absolutely. My parents, they said, you're not going to pursue this career until you get something behind you. So, because this is not a short career.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
One minute you're popping, the next minute you're not.
Mm.
You could have been a could have been.
Yeah.
Yes. Like a one-hit wonder. How many of how many times have we been jamming to someone's track?
Yeah.
Next thing you find out in the news that this person is dead broke. And you're like, but what happened to that all that money, Lumidi?
That's
you know? So it's like, it's very important to understand that.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, my parents were very insistent on me getting a education behind me, just so that in the event, you know, I do go into those down moments in the music industry, I still got other things I can make an income from.
Yeah.
So, you know, multiple sources of income.
Clearly, your parents were also very instrumental in getting you to where you were. They supported you all
Absolutely.
The way from your childhood.
Absolutely.
What were some of the things that that you guys were doing when you were like between 11 and 16 to that moment when you went on to Idols?
Yeah, well, my mother used to be like the typical stage mom. She'd be like, drive me to rehearsals or drive me to sports and back and forth and tell me, make sure you do your homework, you know, stuff. What typical moms do.
Yeah.
So,
And did you play any instruments while growing up?
I play guitar and piano.
Okay.
Enough to write songs with. I'm not too confident performing them because I can just hire someone to do that for me.
Why not?
Yeah. But like I played it well enough to write songs.
And you write all your own music.
Oh, correct. Wow.
I actually co-wrote my EP "I'm Falling in Love" with a producer in Sydney. His name is Phil Anketel. And he's amazing as well.
Let's talk a little bit about Unfallen in Love. So what was the motivation behind that EP?
It's more so my life journey at the moment. Like at the moment, or should I say at that moment.
Yes, yes, yes.
It was kind of like, you know, you go through a relationship and then you take it for granted.
Mm.
And then you're like,
oh,
now it's finished. And you're like, oh, I shouldn't have let that happen.
Yeah.
So you kind of regret.
Yeah.
And then you try to get it back.
But Jared, the same. Okay, but like, tell me something. Okay, this is a little bit off the business side of music.
Sure.
But do you ever like, because I feel like I would use my powers for evil if I could sing.
Yeah.
Like I would stay messing up in relationships and then like be outside your window like, but baby, I apologize.
Hopefully not like that.
Hopefully.
You know,
call ADT, put on the sprinklers.
You're too funny.
So have you ever tried to win back someone with
all
your
the
voice?
Time. All that the time.
Your
that is my mojo.
Your go-to.
That is my mojo.
That's his thing.
When I go to the club, and I'm talking to some girl that,
you
have like
whip out
DNA,
a lyric.
I sing a little... Sing a little Usher slow. Nice and slow or something.
So dirty. Whip out a lyric.
Yeah. Damn, I'm telling you all my secrets, man. Come on.
No, but that's amazing. I don't see why you should have a voice like that if you can't use it for your own good.
Yeah.
Okay, so you were still saying that it was, you know, you messed up. And then you were like, damn, man. Now, why did I go and do that?
You know that thing where you say you don't know what you've got until it's gone?
Oh, ish.
It's kind of.
So this album is going to be the one where you're crying yourself to sleep.
Yeah.
And then like that tear runs from the one eye and hits the other eye. And then you start getting congested.
You need those though. You need a good cry sometimes.
Yes, yes.
You know?
Jared, if you need a good cry after you've messed up in a relationship, put on some Jared, man.
Yeah. Like, okay.
It's a great place to be. Yeah,
no,
you're selling albums.
Yeah.
No, but it is because, I mean, at the end of the day, I think the biggest thing with R&B that we've lost in this period of time.
Yeah, I feel
which
that way.
You are capturing a
it's
lot
the emotion.
Of it's the emotion.
Yes, like I like, don't get me wrong, I like some ratchet music.
No, we all like some trap.
You know what I'm
like,
saying?
You know, lose
I'm
some,
down
some of your morals.
You know, boom, 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 you know?
Yeah.
But sometimes I wanna hear a song that's not only about popping bottles. And,
oh, yeah.
No, what else is going on in your life? You know, that's a Saturday night, a Sunday night. But is there more to you?
Yeah, and that's what I appreciate. You find that in the R&B scene, right? Mm. There are a lot of artists who are trying to kind of mimic now the old school stuff instead of creating new stuff.
Yeah, and they're doing bad jobs of great songs.
Yeah,
terrible.
You know? Here's my thing, though. Would you be able to sing a little something for us today? I know that the weather's terrible and you're not feeling that great.
Yeah, he's a little congested.
I'm a little congested. Yeah, I've got a throat issue. But,
got a throat issue. But, could you do it? Could you do just a little bit of something? Because we got this amazing piano track of Lay Me Down, one of your amazing tracks, and I think the sure. listener was like,
I mean, we can do like a
let's do a short version,
okay,
right?
Sure.
Let's do something.
You can cut me off at like a minute 30.
Yes, I do. I believe that one day I will be where I was, right there, right next to you. You, and it's hard. The day just isn't so hard. The stars are nothing without you. Your touch, your skin, where do I begin? No words can explain the way I'm missing you. Deny this emptiness, this hole that I'm inside. These tears, they tell their own story. Told me not to cry when you were gone. But this feeling's overwhelming, it's much too strong. Can I lay by your side, next to you? I don't want to be here if I can't be with you tonight.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I was a little, a little sick.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that wasn't even his best
Jared
work. That was just like for
he
us.
Got
thank
us.
You. Thank you.
Sure. Sure.
He just whipped out a lyric
Yo.
On me.
Yeah.
In the face. Bang, bang.
He whipped it out. And like, you know, it's like that's one of my favorite songs ever. Like that is, oh. And you did it.
Oh, thank you
did
you
the
so
damn
much.
Thing.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean,
like,
I try my best.
I was like,
right
I'm
now.
Out here falling in love. Like,
Candy's
sure.
in love.
I'm like, I'm gonna be that fangirl now. Like, just be like.
So, how long are you back home for?
I'm back home till the 12th of December.
Okay, just chilling.
See my fam.
Yeah. Then you go back to LA.
I go back to LA.
And it's basically like this though, weather-wise in LA.
Yeah,
right?
LA doesn't rain. I mean, it'll rain for a week straight, and then you won't see rain for another 4 months.
Yeah, it's just warm.
Yeah,
wonderful.
That's what it's,
everybody's
say,
beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, and Botoxed out. You know.
Yeah.
Who needs expression? That's just my thing. I don't need these expression lines.
It's crazy.
Like I can laugh with a straight face. Ha 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 ha.
You know they actually have Botox luncheons.
Yes.
You go,
what are those?
Where the girls go to
lunch.
Oh, it's like a high tea, but with Botox.
Yeah, and they get their Botox fillers and stuff done.
Yeah.
And you can go back to work.
And they go back to work or whatever.
Oh, okay. So what are the major differences? Like, you haven't been, I suppose, back in SA for some time.
Yes.
And now you're fully grown up and like, bang, welcome back, Jared.
Yes. I mean, I've loved being back home, man. Mm. I mean, I didn't realize how much I've missed it.
Yeah.
Just the vibe, just the people, you know, the people are so down to earth and, you know, real.
Yeah.
You know, it's great to be around and then see my family at the same time.
Yeah, of course, eh?
It's been an extra bonus.
I hear that in South Africa, the biggest difference is that when people talk to you, they don't actually want anything from you.
Yes.
They're just saying, how are you? Because they want to know.
Yes.
It's not like, okay.
In LA, they want something.
Yes.
They like, always want something.
When you hear how are you, you're like, oh, damn.
They're like, oh, you're a radio DJ? Oh, well, you know, this.
It's so funny. Yeah. I got a mixtape. They're whipping it out of their pocket. Here's my USB.
But
you want to take it?
But then you're supposed to do them a favor by you taking that mixtape, right?
Yeah.
But that'll be $5, thanks.
Oh, wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, still, after all of that.
Oh, so they're still hustling you.
So they're going to hustle you for the favor that you're giving them.
Yeah.
You know
so
what I'm saying?
Wow. So that it seems like they're doing you a favor.
Yeah.
Like, I got the hottest track on these streets.
Yeah.
Just go play it.
But doesn't that change you a little bit?
It
where
must.
Either it gets you all jaded or you feel like I have to be part of this thing where I'm like, because I know when I was in LA, everybody's got these mixtapes and they're trying to hand it to you and you're like, stop.
Yeah. You walk down Hollywood Boulevard and they're all there. Man, like for me, it's just I've got a good team around me.
Wow.
Okay.
I'm not that. How do you say? I'm not that person that gets starstruck or like, or is like too.
I suppose you know your destiny and you know your purpose and where you're going and why you're doing it.
Yeah.
You're not just like anybody out there who can help me. Let me try.
Yes. You know. It's funny. You say that because, a musician in LA, actually told me success doesn't change you, fame does. So you can be very successful. Like a lot of people are very successful without being famous.
Oh,
but it's when the fame drug hits.
Ah,
some people don't know how to handle
Jay-Z
that fame.
Said it.
Yo,
The biggest drug known to man.
Yeah.
And the biggest. But you know, another thing, the one thing I like about, oh yeah, to Michelle's crying here. He's like, I'm losing it a little. I'm holding on. No, but Oprah said that what fame does is it just magnifies who you are. So if you are miserable and bitter before you're famous, you're going to be even more miserable and bitter. If you are happy, it's going to make you even more happy.
Absolutely.
So it's but I think, don't you think the biggest thing is not being defined by your fame?
That's correct. You have to be defined by who you are as a person. Mm. You have to know who you are. You have to kind of be happy with who you are, because you're going to get criticism regardless.
Yeah.
If,
oh, yeah.
I mean, look, you can be Queen B or Jay-Z. They still got haters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 100%.
And that's what I want to talk about. Because, like, in the States, it seems like the haters are in your face. You're just walking down the street and someone just, like, swears at you for no reason at all.
Fuck you,
you see that happen? Yeah. Do you see that happen?
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Doesn't that scare you a little? Like, I understand, like, when you're famous in America, you're properly rich, right?
Yes.
But at the same time, you need that money to just keep. Like
you need to keep that.
That doesn't make you want to bring out your colored side, like just
all
like,
the time. Well, that's why you see, like, you know, those reality shows. Man, I love a good ratchet TV show once in a while. Love and Hip Hop. Atlanta's my favorite. But that's how it is, man. They get to show how they really feel on TV because you know they forget the cameras are there.
Yes.
So how they're feeling comes out.
Yeah. Would you do something like Love and Hip Hop if they asked you to be on the show? I mean, Ray J was on. I mean, Ray J didn't have much of a career, but you know what I'm saying.
Come on.
I mean, I would
Cardi B.
I would do a reality show like that is good for my brand, because I'm not ratchet.
Oh, yeah.
And ratchet only gets you so far.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Your fan base.
Unless you're Cardi B. Unless you're Cardi B, was smart.
It. But then Cardi was a stripper beforhand. So
but
like,
that's
I
what I'm saying. She went on
it
two
was
seasons.
Always innovation.
She went on two seasons, got that
check.
That check and that, how do you say that, rise?
Mm.
And she's like, okay, I gotta go.
Yeah, so I got a track.
And so that was a good thing she did.
I was like right outside of that conversation looking in, like I had no idea who you're talking about or what you're talking about exactly.
Bodak Yellow.
I really felt for a second.
No, Cardi's like, making some coins.
Not my generation.
Cardi B's making some coins. Yeah.
No, but Jared, like, okay, so what would you leave people with? Like, I mean, you are still a rising star. You've worked with incredible people.
Yes.
You've met incredible people, but you're still rising.
Absolutely.
People like Jay Holiday and all sorts of
correct. Yeah, I was on tour with them just recently this year in Australia.
I mean, that's crazy. And your career's still rising. So for you, like, what are some of the life lessons that are keeping you going and that are keeping you, like, you know, on your track?
Yeah, constant hard work. Knowing that one song can change my life. Knowing that I have to stay humble, have good family foundation, and just believe. There's nothing more to it. It's not a major thing. It's just know what you want in life, go for it. Don't worry about what people say. At the end of the day, they're not paying your rent, they're not paying your mortgage.
Not even your cell phone, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So if they ain't doing that, why should you care?
100%. And where can people find you on social media?
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram at Jared Official, J-A-R-I-D Official.
Okay.
And my Facebook as well is facebook.com/Jared Official, same spelling, J-A-R-I-D Official.
Yeah.
Holla at your boy.
And then on
man.
iTunes, if people want to go and cry themselves to sleep tonight.
Yes, just go Jared Williams, Unfall in Love, and you'll see that EP come up. And yeah, please, if
download,
you like it,
support,
download, support your boy.
Look, I don't want to be that guy, you know, who corrects the guy who actually owns stuff. But when I was on iTunes, it just said Jared. Just
my artist name is Jared.
Yeah, there you go.
So
I don't want to be that guy.
Wow.
Just drop my last name.
All right, well, enjoy South Africa. We have to get out of here. And,
thank you for being here.
Thank you for having
me. Thank you for dropping in. Are you going back to Durban now? It's raining there.
No, I'm going to chill in Joburg for a couple of more days.
Are you going to do any gigs here?
Not in Joburg. In Durban, I got a few gigs. And Cape Town, we're sussing it out at the moment. But Durban's confirmed for December. So I'm looking forward to
that. Tell people where you're going to be in December.
I'm going to be at the Culture Club in Durban, Florida Road. So if you're available, come through. It'll be a dope.
And roundabout, when is it?
9th of December.
9th of December, y'all. If you're in Durban, go through.
You know everyone's going to be in Durban.
Durban. In the meantime.
So what we're going to do is we're gonna just leave you guys once again with another taste of Jared. And here's Unfall in Love once again. Thank you so much for being in the studio with us, my brother.
Thank you for having
Jared.
Us.
All the
thank
best
you.
With your career, man.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
I hated those mascara stained shirts, but they were there, I knew you were hurt. You thought I never listened, you heard. If only you knew. I hated those constant fights.
cliffcentral.com.